Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Travis Ryer. He's Evan Ryer. And Evan, some PTSD revisited from a year ago, really, in the Jags' 31-27 loss up at Cincinnati on Sunday. Wasn't exactly the same kind of finish, but it felt eerily similar to what we saw down in Miami to open the 2024 campaign. And now the question becomes, is this the same old Jags? Were there reasons for optimism from the latest performance against the Bengals? Or maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. It's difficult to take away, you know, positives from something like this, right? Because it's such a sour taste to let, you know, victory slip through your fingers. Simultaneously, there were plenty of reasons to feel good about, you know, various decisions the Jags have made in terms of personnel. You know, you think about stuff like how good Bashel Tootin looked, you know, when he got his opportunities. But man, it's vibes of last year. And then also the 2023 loss to the Bengals with Jake Browning as a quarterback then too was, it felt similar. It was a tight, high-scoring game late, and the Jags just didn't do enough. And really, you know, I know, you know, guarding Ja'Marr Chase is really difficult. It really is. But dang, bro, like, dang. Like, you can't – like, Tyson Campbell just got cooked all – game in every single spot that it really mattered, to the point where they kind of took Tyson Campbell off Ja'Marr Chase at one point. They were trying to see if there was anything they could do. And really, the Jaguars secondary had no answer. It was rough.
14 catches for Ja'Marr Chase on 16 targets.
Yeah.
That's a ratio you can certainly live with if you are the Bengals. Now, he just averaged 11.8. So in terms of yards per catch, didn't really kill you. But then you get T. Higgins on a big play there in the second half for the touchdown against Tyson. And, you know, Tyson, you know, it feels a little bit like Dollar General Sertan at this point with Tyson Campbell. And, you know, Jarian Jones gave up one too, but I thought Jarian just had really good coverage on the play to Tinsley.
Yeah.
More so, it was a hell of a catch by 82 for Cincinnati.
No, everything that had to kind of happen for the Bengals did happen. That's one of the reasons why I think you can feel a little bit optimistic. You know, that catch by Tinsley is just magical, really. I mean, that's a crazy grab. You know, things like the Travis Hunter PI on the last drive, that looked like really great coverage. I didn't think that was PI, but bias.
Yeah, I think he got rookied a little bit right there. Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things, you know, went the Bengals' way. Jags also, though, I mean, you got to be able to pull out the dagger and just hit it and kill the other team.
After the Lloyd really interception. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they really couldn't do it. You know, I actually liked, though, I mean, because I don't think it really would have – I didn't think it necessarily mattered, obviously, because the Bengals drove 93 yards for the game-winning touchdown. But I liked Cohen going for it instead of kicking the field goal there at the end of the game. I think he recognized, like, I don't trust this defense right now. We gotta just win the game. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate him going for it. I didn't necessarily love the play call on that fourth down, but I at least liked the decision-making there.
Yeah, they tried to run mesh into what looked to be a zone defense, the two crossers with BTJ as a part of that. And the Bengals were obviously sitting on the sticks, you know, trying to prevent that first down. It was going to be tough, I think, even after the catch for Brian Thomas Jr. there. It also speaks to sort of the generational gap between you and me. Because my generation, I'm saying kick the field goal, take the three, make them drive the length of the field and beat you with a touchdown, which they ultimately did anyway.
Yeah.
Although the circumstances could change if you do go up six versus being up three. There's something to be said about having that comfort and knowing we've got three in our back pocket. We can go ahead and try to win the game with a touchdown now when you're down only three versus six. You know, that's more of a tougher situation. But yeah, there were just so many elements to this game that played out exactly the way the Jaguars needed it to play out. Came out, asserted itself, opening drive, right down the field, get in the end zone. Three and out for the Jaguar defense on Cincinnati's opening possession. right back down there, about to go in again to make it 14-0. And you throw the pick. And I know Trevor was hit on the play, but it just sort of felt like even if he wasn't hit, it wasn't a great decision.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to end well regardless. It could have been better than the interception. I know Walker Little had some struggles, but Trey Hendrickson is going to do that to a lot of people in this league, right?
There's maybe three offensive tackles in the entire league that generally you trust against a guy like Trey Hendrickson. And right now, Walker Little is not one of them. That's okay. I didn't think he was all that bad considering. On that pick, I think really, you know, I know he's kind of stepping back, trying to avoid pressure. As a quarterback, I know for a fact you're told to throw to the back, like the back corner. Mm-hmm. You do not, if anything, that ball's going out the back. Like, there's no way that you leave it short. And that's what he did there. And like you said, I mean, it's not a great decision. Shit. Like, even if you throw it all the way into the stance and they call grounding, you at least get to kick the field goal and you go up two scores, right? So, it was a rough spot there. I definitely felt like the second pick wasn't on Trevor as much. It kind of prompts, I think, a big discussion point that you've seen online about BTJ being soft. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but apparently BTJ lost like his best friend, friend like died like 3 weeks ago. So people had brought that up that, you know, he's not quite all there, whatever, blah, blah. But it definitely seemed like, you know, there was a big takeaway from a lot of Jags fans. Jimmy Smith even said something on Twitter about it, saying like,
you can count on 80. You can count on 82 to hit the social hot.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Smith was like, BTJ's scared. Like, he's scared to catch the ball. He's scared to whatever. So,
had the one tweet, I'm so glad I never had to answer for being scared, basically, or drops on a football field.
And it's, you know, it's tough. It's tough because, like, I don't think that's all on BTJ, but at the same time, you are kind of, I mean, you are the number one guy on this on this team. You have to be able to go catch
the ball. You want the ball coming to you.
Yeah, and it didn't – it felt – you know what it felt like? You know what he looked like yesterday? He looked like Calvin Ridley. He looked like Calvin Ridley when he was on the Jags. And
a little smoke-free.
Yeah, smoke-free, not really trying to fight for much.
You know, we heard from Liam this morning, and Liam mentioned a wrist ailment. Now, that may just be Liam trying to protect his guy. Yeah. And if it is the case – good on Liam Cohen, because we're only two games into the season. Amidst all the disappointment from yesterday, you still have to preserve your team with 15 games to go. And also with, as you talked about, the optimism, the good things to come from that performance. You know, you're 1-1. You got divisional play cranking up this Sunday with the hated Houston Texans coming to town. You got the Texans coming off a short week because they go tonight at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You got the doubleheader Monday Night Football tonight. We like that when we get that early in the season. So there are some sort of mixed signals, some mixed narratives. Whatever the case, there's no doubt, as Robert Atzert here chimes in via the live show chat, and we appreciate that, Robert, something's going on with BTJ. Now, the second interception, that looked to me like that was zone coverage. And Trevor threw it more in a way that would be against man coverage. In other words, he led the receiver led a little bit. And I think BTJ has also witnessed some hospital balls from 16.
No, it's definitely not. Jacksonville. Trevor is definitely not guilt-free on that one. I definitely think that BTJ at least, because it stinks because, BTJ catches that ball, he's getting laid out. Like, he's getting lit up if he gets there. But he could, at the end of the day, at least, like, just hand out. You got a handout. Like, even just put it down. Right. Like, just try to just whatever. Yeah. BTJ literally goes, like, no. Like,
well, he even caught an end breaker where he slid after the catch, you know.
And it's just like, bro, if you run right now, you might – he had one man to beat on that. So, it's worth noting real quick, 19 targets through two games for BTJ. Five catches. Five catches on 19 targets is – horrendous.
It's like 18%. 20%, something like that.
That's really, really rough. If that's right now, if I'm Liam Cohen and I'm Trevor Lawrence, it's not that I don't want to throw to BTJ or anything like that. You know, you need to get him his opportunities. But, I mean, when you see what Parker Washington's doing with the ball after catch, when you see Duwami Brown doing what he's doing right now, those are my guys at the moment. Those are when we go up against the Texans next weekend, that's who I'm thinking, okay, I want those guys to get, you know, 8 to 10 targets in this game because they're making plays right now. Brenton Strange, you know, that's another one. With BTJ and Travis Hunter, really at the moment, it's not panning out, you know, it's not clicking right away. And that's okay, but you know, you gotta figure something else out in the meantime.
Parker Washington, I think early in the game had something to do with that first interception from Trevor Lawrence. Not that I'm putting any of the blame really on Parker Washington, but Parker Washington went up and made a play for his quarterback.
Yeah.
On that 20-yard reception there, just before the interception,
that
20-yard reception, he went up and made a play for his guy. Sick. So, Trevor, to me, on the ball in which he was hit, back to your point, he's probably trying to get that ball to the back pylon because he's confident in his guys right now. He just saw Parker Washington go up and make a play. Unfortunately, it didn't play out that way. You know, until further notice, and again, the run game was a real positive for this offense, which also makes it all the more difficult to swallow that loss because you were in a situation as the team that could run the football on Sunday where it was totally and put away, you know, opportunity for you. And that's what you want as a team offensively that's built that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I do think that maybe in an effort to, like, you know, maybe overextending in an effort to you know, go up two scores to really try to put the game away. The Jags did get away from the run a little bit, you know, in the second half. And, I mean, Trevor Lawrence threw 42 times in a game that they led the majority of the game. So, you know, that's kind of a weird one, you know.
That's not Tannehilling.
No, it's not Tannehilling. And you averaged 5 yards a carry, like, across
all of your backs.
Across all the backs. ETN had 5.1. Tootin had 5.3. LeQuint Allen Jr., only 2 handoffs but 13 yards. I mean, you ran the ball with anybody back there, and you were picking it up. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know really.
3rd and 2, and you throw the ill-fated corner out.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
And Liam was interesting on that too, Ev, in that he said they had some runs called that they went away from.
Well, and then there's the clip that everyone's talking about online.
With Trevor waving him off.
Nah, dude, I got this.
Let me cook, Liam. No, that we'll talk about too, because that has been, as you might expect, especially here locally, the topic of conversation. Yeah. It's burned up social media and everything else in a way too. My stance on that is, if that isn't an issue that they're having every day, then it wasn't an issue on Sunday or coming out. As long as their relationship, as long as that wasn't indicative of their relationship already on a daily basis, then it's a big nothing what happened on Sunday.
No, for sure. I agree. People love, you know, moments like that, like whatever sideline, you know, argument or whatever type of little intensity, you know, people love to highlight and you know, exaggerate the importance of it. I don't think that's anything at all. I think at the end of the day, you know, sometimes quarterbacks just trying to make, you know, just probably even just trying to call the play that's being called. Cohen's, you know, trying to tell him something or another. And he's like, look, we're about to snap the ball.
He's like, you know, we've already had about 5 illegal shift penalties because I've been late getting out of the huddle, maybe. Yeah. And from my understanding, the Jags as a team from an administrative standpoint were late in a lot of ways. Offensively, they were late. Even coming out of the first half and the halftime, they got back out on the field late. So there's still some things you're going through with a first-time head coach who also is calling plays, by the way.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because this team compared to last year and even 2023, there's like such clearly a higher ceiling, especially offensively. Like right now, what this offense looks like it can do, like on a week-to-week basis, is really, really encouraging. That being said, it's still very much a work in progress. you know, I did think that the offensive line did show improvement, especially in the penalty sense. I know the five shifts was like, that's a lot. Last week they had more, actually. They had more offensive line penalties than they did this week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whittling it down a little bit. But, yeah, there's definitely, you know, still stuff cooking. It's still on the burner, so to speak. But I will say defensively, I mean, obviously the Bengals scored 31 points, but there were some positives there all the same. Like, I think Jordan Lewis continues to be like such a clear cut, like awesome addition. Eric Murray, once again, mm-hmm. pretty solid. Also, we kind of saw for the first time Eric Armstead be as good as he's supposed to be, which mm-hmm. was cool. It was nice to see Eric Armstead consistently, you know, kind of penetrating the offensive line and making things happen. So, I mean, there were little things here and there, but really at the end of the day, the Jaguars couldn't guard Ja'Marr Chase or T. Higgins down the stretch. It was as simple as that.
They couldn't. And it, like just about any level of football these days, it comes down to three or four, you know, situations.
Right.
And I felt comfortable with the Jags defense out there.
Yeah.
Even in a 3-point game late.
Yeah.
What I would have liked to have seen is more of a commitment. And I know there's risk to this, but not saying you have to bring pressure. You don't have to bring five or six, but that whole last drive kind of got its legs because to me, Browning was allowed too many layups early in the possession. I would have liked to have seen them box that in and try to take away more of that stuff. And then force him to sit in there against even the Jags' 4-man pass rush, you know, and not have to blitz and see if you can get to him that way on 2nd and 8 and 3rd and 8. But it just didn't feel like they were able to get him in that spot.
If I'm remembering correctly, 2 of the 3 sacks earlier in the game came on 5+ rushers.
Okay.
Olokun had a sack. Right. I think they have 1 sack in which they brought 4. You, if you're getting that kind of return when you're bringing more than 4 guys, against a backup quarterback, against an offensive line that clearly has issues and a QB that you don't trust to hit, you know, deep shots down the field. I think, I definitely think they let off the gas a little bit, and I'm not really sure why Caminelli was singing that. But, at the end of the day, I'm not the one, on the sideline, right? But, I definitely thought, like, at some point, you got to just bring 6 and just say, we're going to roll the dice on this one. Because also, I mean, especially after the first 2 or 3 first downs, I mean, I don't see why you're not at that point. I mean, the Bengals are, like, looking like they're about to go score. Mm-hmm. You need to kind of put some chips out there. You need to, go all in. All of that
understood what we've just talked about. It still goes more on the offense because with 5 minutes left, Lloyd makes the big play. Didn't look, by the way, to be down.
Yeah.
Probably or should have been called a touchdown.
Yeah.
So now he joins Miles Jack, right?
Yeah.
And you've got the ball in a position to go up 10 and just put this thing to bed.
And you can't.
And you don't get the job done. So complimentary football looked really good to the Jags early on, but when they needed it the most, they failed.
I will say at the end of the day, you can say the defense let up 31, but they had 3 takeaways.
Three more this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think they had 9 or 10 last year. We're on pace to match that total next week. If your defense forces 3 takeaways, you ought to win the game. Really at the end of the day, that ought to be a W. So, also in the modern NFL, at the end of the day, offenses are going to score. They're gonna put up points. There's just too much talent out there. So you have to go into games thinking, okay, they're gonna score 20 or maybe more, but we need to turn the ball over. And right now the defense is doing that. It's really impressive. Compared to last year. I mean, it's night and day. It's night and day right now. So
the back end still gives up too many plays.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at yesterday for more of that. The 3 quarterbacks that played in the game, Jake Browning actually had the highest yards per attempt, not Joe Burrow, not Trevor Lawrence. And That's kind of problematic for the Jags too, because typically if you run the ball as well as the Jags do, it should be reflective in your big play ability in the passing game. But right now, when it comes to the Jags offense, I know we're bouncing around a little bit. I am most comfortable with those three backs and Brenton Strange. It just feels like to me, if you sort of call games and plan games in which you're more running back tight end centric and you can help protect your defense in a way by doing that, that looks like it might be the recipe as much as anything else. I know you got Travis Hunter. I know you got BTJ. But right now, Travis is just a guy in that offense at wide receiver, which leads me to this. If you were going to say snap or usage for Travis Hunter right now for this team, from what you've seen through two games, is he more useful to the defense or do you think he's more useful to the offense?
I would still say offense. Okay. Don't get me wrong. He had that really nice pass breakup, pushing Yosevis out of bounds. And he definitely didn't deserve the PI call. So those are two like really nice plays on defense. But overall, I think what he's still providing as like a threat, even if he's not like the main playmaker on the offense right now, you know, you still can't like, you can't like look over him as like a defense. Like, I think what he's setting up for Dwame Brown, what he's setting up with, because I think part of the reason why running the football is working so well too, is teams still have to respect BTJ. They have to respect Travis Hunter. They have to respect Dwame Brown. So I do think what he just having him out there, the presence, it matters a lot. Now, I get where you're coming from, though, because with the way that the secondary is allowing big plays, that, you know, Travis Hunter might need to be out there. And shoot, I mean, really, after
he was out there more yesterday.
That's what I was going to say. It's like we might see him.
Now, you know, Jarian's beat up a little bit, so that has something to do with it, I'm sure. But
we were saying like, oh, he might get, you know, 5 to 10 defensive snaps a game. I mean, after yesterday, I felt pretty good about him. I mean, we might see that go to 15, 20 now. You know, it might be.
I'm almost to the point, Evan, where I'm ready to flip those snaps.
Yeah.
I'm almost ready to send him to the defense.
At least try it out, right?
Let him dedicate more time to the system and understanding, you know, how to play with that side of the football, become more coordinated in that way. And then I can, you know, I can give him enough of the playbook offensively, because in part because Parker Washington is that guy.
Yeah, he's
right
really
now.
Good.
I mean, you want to talk about yards per catch. That was Parker Washington yesterday.
Yeah.
5 for 76.
40 yard reception. That was his own legs.
You had Dyami Brown at 11.4 and BTJ at 12.3. I mean, that's. And Dyami had the drop, I mean, which was critical in the end zone.
Yeah, that was
a
bad one.
Yeah, you can't do that when you have a chance. That was another one of those chances to really put the Browns in a place that maybe wasn't recoverable from in terms of the difference on the scoreboard there.
Also, I'm at a point right now where you talk about, you know, protecting Trevor or protecting the defense with, you know, more action for the running backs and tight ends. I want Tootin to get like 4 or 5 receptions a game right now, because when he catches the ball out of the backfield, it's a major freaking problem for whoever is the first guy. He cooked those dudes yesterday on the two receptions that he had, the 24-yard grab and then the touchdown. I mean, he looks like a absolute menace in open space, and until someone makes a first tackle on him, I don't see why you don't just keep doing that. Like, I mean, it feels kind of like A-Chain, you know, like Miami with A-Chain, like that vibe.
Love right A-Chain now. Too. I love it. 3 touchdown passes for Trevor on Sunday, 2 to running backs, about as easy as they could be too.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't put the ball in harm's way. You got it to Tootin. You got it to ETN in ways in which, you know, that's as easy as it's going to get for Trevor, who should have had 4 because Dyami drops the easy one there in the corner of the end zone. But I'm all for at this point. I will say this about Liam Cohen's offense. Give me more of the running back and Brenton Strange stuff. I'm here for it. Give it to me.
I think in a lot of games too, that's what they're going to end up doing. I'm wondering if the Burrow injury and the way that the first half kind of played out, if Cohen just felt like, okay, now we can really attack or what have you, or if Trevor felt that way. We're talking about, you know, not certain plays not being called. I'm wondering if Trevor was like, oh, well, it's time to eat. And if
Liam said today there were some runs called, but we went away from those.
We went away from them. but so I'm wondering if, you know, like they're going to rein that in a little bit, because when you're talking about games against like teams like the next 3 weeks, right? Next 4 weeks, really 5 weeks. God, the next 5 weeks, all challenging games. You're talking about teams that you're not going to necessarily be able to like really get after. More than likely, you're not looking at like games where you jump out in front and, you know, you can potentially like really break it open, you know, against the Texans. That's not going to be easy. 49ers, Chiefs, Seahawks, Rams. These are all really
Mac Jones revenge game, maybe, with the 49ers out
I'm
there.
I'm begging for it.
That Matt is cooking yesterday in New Orleans.
That would be very cool. I will say it would be very cool to see that. But
yeah, there's a lot of talk too that BTJ misses Mac.
Yeah,
think about BTJ's rookie season.
Yeah, Mac did a lot of work.
More Mac than it was Trev, wasn't it?
Well, that was the only thing they could do on that offense was Mac was like, well, BTJ down there somewhere. But I mean, you talk about the defenses that the Jags are looking at over the next 5 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. It's you know, I think you don't really have much of a choice but to stick to those running backs and to Brenton Strange, at least in a very heavy way. Because yeah, I mean, those are some really good secondaries. Those are some really good defenses.
Well, it gives you the balance that you got to have against those kind of teams. I mean, Doug Peterson offenses, Press Taylor, whatever, down the stretch, I mean, there was just no legitimate balance. I do like that in two games, what I've seen. If BTJ is right with Parker Washington coming along, how Liam likes to feature backs, the run game, you've got a lot better chance to be harder to defend than a Jaguar offense we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, really, this is already looking like higher, you know, higher potential than I would say anything from maybe since 2001, 2002. Like, I mean, really, like that 2017 offense ended up being very efficient, but that wasn't their game. That way, you know, they weren't, you know, a shootout team. And even the 2022 team, despite having some shootout wins, kind of was still a very mixed bag. This feels considerably stronger. But yeah, man, it overall, I'm trying to keep, you know, centered, trying to be like measured, because if you go win next week, then whatever, then
that's the question for Liam Cohen now as a first time head coach. How does he process this? How does he manage it? Because part of his narrative as an assistant was that he took it very personal in some situations, which is fine, which is good. I mean, you want it to mean that much to a guy, but, and he talked about this in the locker room yesterday. That was interesting. The Jags released a post-game video
of the
Liam
loss.
Cohen talking to the team after a loss. You don't ever see that.
Yeah, that was wild.
Social media platforms. But I thought the messaging was good, and I was more interested in his tone, and was he cracking while he was saying it?
Yeah.
Did he believe it? Did he really believe what he was saying? And I got the sense that it came off as if he did. And then today I thought he sounded good. So I'm not as worried, I guess, as much about that. But hey, you can hate watch the Texans tonight. If you're a Jaguars fan, you can be all in on Baker and the Bucs tonight, right?
No, I am curious about tonight, I will say, because I mean, really the Texans, you know, there's always people love bringing up the stat of teams that go 0-2 miss the playoffs, like only 15 to 20% of teams in history that have gone 0-2 have made the playoffs. So, you know, this week two game for the Texans is like kind of a must win feel. Mm-hmm. And I think this Bucs team is really good. I think this Bucs team is really good even after Cohen's left. Like, I think they're dope.
I mean, this comes at a good time for the Jags too, because Cohen just left there. So stylistically and in terms of how you're going to attack,
it's going to be similar. The tape is going to be very valuable.
Carryover, I guess, from the Texans' perspective, you're looking at it like you're getting a twofer in terms of preparation,
which could be.
But
you know, bad spot for the Jags in that sense.
I guess there's either way on that one, right?
Up against the Buccaneers. But no, that's the thing is I think the game tonight's going to be really fun to watch just because, I mean, Texans kind of got to have it, but I think the Buccaneers are far better than maybe some people are realizing at the moment. I think the Buccaneers still win this game, and but I think the it'll be really tight. When we come back later this week, I definitely want to also go ahead and look back at the rest of the schedule because it's funny how it works. You know, you have a terrible season. You're supposed to have terrible opponents. And now, you know, the Jags are looking at like the Chargers and the Cardinals. Are like, like Rams and Seahawks.
Seahawks went into Pittsburgh and won by 14. Dude,
Seahawks look good. You know, I mean, really other than the Jets and Colts, there's not a whole lot of love on this schedule right now. Maybe the Raiders, maybe, but like it's going to be interesting because a lot of the teams on the schedule look pretty good right now.
Going to be so much BTJ talk as Robert chimes back in here, Ev, in the live chat. Ever since camp, Robert said, and after that big hit in the preseason, that was the Steelers, right? In the opener where he got rocked on that hospital ball from Trev. BTJ is playing scared. Washington should get the reps if BTJ can't get out of his own head. I mean, Liam said today during his Monday newser that right after that, there was going to be a conversation with BTJ. So,
I mean,
we'll see how that goes.
That's the beauty of actually having a stacked receiver room, you know, is that the Jags are, they have plan B's and C's that they can go to and guys that are hungry for the ball. Parker Washington has been what, two years and change of like, just like putting his head to, you know, putting his head down, nose to the grindstone, doing his best. And, you know, he looks really strong at the moment. Let him break it open.
He doesn't look like a number one in this league, but I guess Steve Smith didn't really either. You know, some guys can still make it work.
I think ball.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Ball IQ. That's the thing.
And I want to put Travis on defense more, but it's hard to do that if BTJ isn't going to give you more of the BTJ that you were anticipating going into the season. So a lot to consider throughout the upcoming week. We are, by demand, we're going to add a show of No Sleep Teal during the week. So we won't get into the Texans as much. We'll do that coming up later in the week with Evan. So you'll want to check back in for that right here on No Sleep Teal on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Ev, anything else before we get out of here live on a Monday?
I hope like Jake Browning like stubs his toe or something, but that's
Jake is working on some Trev Lawrence money at this point. I mean, he's 2-0.
He's 2-0 against the Jags. I mean,
where's my 50?
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. He's our bogey. He's our natural born enemy, I guess. We're good other than that.
You know, the Bengals won, but it sounds like with Burrow out for maybe
three months. Yeah.
They didn't really win.
One less team in the wild card race. Wild card.
All right, Ev. Look forward to it later in the week here on the channel.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
Thanks to Party Girl Avondale, as always, for being the presenting sponsor for No Sleep Teal. Stop by the shop there in Avondale, 4205 St. John's Avenue. I've already seen the menu for the upcoming week. You're going to have some beef over egg noodles, you're gonna have some turkey tetrazzini, you're gonna have some great appetizers and desserts and sides that Heather and our crew are gonna come up with you for you with right there.
I'm hungry
at Party Girl Avondale. Ev's hungry, I am too. I think I'm gonna go grab something real quick. All right, Ev, we'll do it again later in the week.
Sounds good. See you then.
For Ev, I'm Trav. Until next time, so long, everybody.